I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody jump! Jump,
Tuesday morning, Taz and the Moose with you right here, CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. You've got Mike and Pete across the way, Andrew with your updates. We've got 3 hours of sports talk with you right here on CBS Sports Radio, Sirius and XM 206, the app as well. What's going on, Taz? How you doing, buddy?
Good, Moose. Good. Everything's good. Looking forward to today's show here on this lovely Tuesday. Another edition of Taz and the Moose coming straight forge ahead.
Yes, it is. Braylon Edwards will join us a little later on the program. Really look forward to that conversation. And talk a little NFL with him. And, you know, a lot to get into here on this Tuesday morning. Number one is reaction to the Monday night game that was, which really wasn't much of a game at all, as the Steelers have their way with the Cincinnati Bengals. Bengals are a terrible football team. They really are. You know, they played well in a couple games, one being up in Buffalo, the other one being up in Seattle against the Seahawks. Last night, little to no pushback whatsoever. When you look at their matchup against the Steelers, Steelers played like a desperate team. They were 0-3. Now they're a 1-3 team. They had 8 sacks on the night. Rudolph played well, just 5 incompletions with a couple touchdowns and throws for 229 yards. They used the aerial attack, as you looked at it, as 7 different Steeler receivers caught footballs from Mason Rudolph, including running backs coming out of the backfield. It wasn't really a ground-and-pound night, and you look at Andy Dalton and the Cincinnati Bengals offense, the line was absolutely brutal, and Dalton wasn't particularly good either.
No, it was a tough watch. The game, you know, sucked. I mean, really, it was just like an 0-3 team versus an 0-3 team, and then the Steelers become 1-3. I mean, and then the Bengals go 0-4. I mean, it was just not... You know, we had a feeling it wasn't going to be a good watch, and it wasn't. I mean, it just wasn't. I mean, I
thought the Steelers played well.
Yes, but the Bengals just didn't show up. I mean, but the thing is, for me, what I like for the Steelers is Mason Rudolph, I think, is going to, you know, the more reps he gets, the better he's going to be. And we've talked about him when he was in college recently. You know, we talked about his recent college, how he played in college, how much he played in college, how good he was. So, you know, I do think that he's a guy that could be a keeper. You know, once this team, if he's still on this team, once Ben Roethlisberger rides off to the sunset, Mason Rudolph will be a starter somewhere. If it's not the Steelers, someplace. He's got that kind of talent.
Yeah, and you saw Roethlisberger on the sideline with his elbow wrapped and everything and the like. And he's got the headset on, and he was, helping Rudolph out as the game went along. Yeah, I mean, he clearly, the Steelers did a much better job this week than last week taking care of the football. They could easily beat the San Francisco 49ers the earlier week. You know, they unfortunately, they did not take advantage of all the 49er turnovers, and Rudolph didn't play particularly well. Last night the defense got after it. The Bengals aren't they're right behind the Miami Dolphins as one of the worst teams in the National Football League. Even though they do have some talent at the skill position players, when Green does return, Boyd's a nice player. Joe Mixon, the former Oklahoma star, is a nice player, but yeah, the offensive line is just downright dreadful. Defensively, they really couldn't make it uncomfortable for Rudolph at all over the course of the night. And as the game went along, it just became a matter of time until basically that game got busted open. That's the sense I got. Two physical teams, two franchises that can't stand one another. But the Cincinnati Bengals are in pure rebuild mode as they're going nowhere fast. They're an 0-4 team.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it's just, I don't know. They got to figure out what they're doing there. you got a young head coach, his first year coach is, you know, and you got to figure he's inheriting all these players. You know, once it becomes where he's part of the whole draft process, he can get a bunch of his guys. You got to figure Andy Dalton's not the guy he wants there as a signal caller. I mean, I would assume that. You know, so I'm sure eventually, you know, look, these guys are not going to end with a strong record. That's pretty well documented, the Cincinnati Bengals. So I would think that they might get somebody pretty good coming out of college this year in a draft or something as far as a quarterback. They need
the head coach. I mean, I thought Steve Young said something really wise at halftime. I mean, where is the, where is the creativity when you look at that Bengals offense? There's little to none. When Zach Taylor comes over from the Los Angeles Rams and was their quarterback coach, offensive coordinator, you know, he comes over to run the Bengals program, the former Nebraska star. And you know, the offense is very rudimentary. And that's not a good thing if you're the Cincinnati Bengals. I agree with you. They've got to find that quarterback of the future. And Taylor, you know, even though, you know, two of the four games the team has played competitive football, and two of the games they have not. And you know, they got their doors blown off at home against the 49ers. And then last night, really little to no pushback whatsoever. And for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Taz, because there's not a lot to break down the game, you know, in that AFC North, you know, even despite being 1-3 and finding a way to win a football game, and you look at the rest of that, the Baltimore Ravens have certainly shown a little bit of leak. I mentioned the Cleveland Browns. You've got the Steelers, you know, and the Cincinnati Bengals are dreadful. So you look at it, it's a three-team race. They're only a game out in terms of being in the lead in the AFC North.
No, you're right.
I don't think they're winning the division. No. They're still got something to play for here.
But an injury here and there to another, like you said, you know, something else happens. You never know. They could slip their way in that thing. You never know. It's crazy, right? Yeah, anything could happen. You know, it's the NFL. So with that AFC North, you could see something happen where, you know, something catastrophic happens with the Browns or the Ravens. Next thing you know, they get a little warm, the Pittsburgh Steelers. And you got a guy like Tomlin, the head coach, who knows how to advance a team for the most part, knows what he's doing. And, you know, you got James Conner, I should say, that can run the ball. When he runs the ball hard, when he's got good blocking, he's going to get you some yardage. He's not the greatest back in the league. He's not as good as Lev Bell either that they had, but you know what? It'll be interesting to see actually this Sunday because they're playing the Ravens, so the Steelers are, and they're playing the Ravens, I believe, at home. So that's always a hard-hitting game.
Yeah,
so.
Samuels, I thought, played well last night, too, for the Steelers. So, I mean, they've got something. If their defense can get after it, Watt had himself a night. Now every week's not going to be the Cincinnati Bengals on that offensive line, which was dreadful. Bobby Hart, for Giant fans, remember him as he was getting blown up and penalized all night long out there in Pittsburgh. Taz, so you look at that scenario last night, you know, the Steelers need a victory. They played desperate football, and now they've extended their winning streak against the Cincinnati Bengals to 9 straight. So it's impressive when you look at the Steelers, who are trying to get themselves back to some sort of relevancy, and they do have relevancy. So, I mean, that's a positive. I mentioned the Browns. They're an inconsistent bunch. Maybe they found themselves this week against the Ravens, and the Ravens defensively have got a lot of things to work on, especially in that secondary, Taz. So that was the Monday night game. I mean, didn't come down to one single play, didn't come down to one decision by a coach, didn't come down to anything like that. The game was pretty much over at halftime. You could have flipped it over and watched something else. As far as the big news in the NFL earlier in the day was the fact that the Raiders' Vontaze Burfict, the linebacker who we talked about his hit on Jack Doyle in the
former
Colts game,
former
Arizona State star, he gets suspended for the rest of the regular season for that spearing helmet-to-helmet hit on the Colts tight end.
Yeah, it's pretty huge news. I mean, there's a lot of people with a lot of opinions on it. I think most people think it's well-deserved, and a lot of people think he should be out of the league completely. You know, look, the hit was nasty. I talked about the hit here, and I talked about it on Twitter and gave my opinion because I was still coming off hot off of Jones's hit on Allen with the Patriot-Bills game. Different situation, different type of hit for sure. I spoke too soon when I saw it on Sunday. I think it was just more my Bills fandom that came out in my anger and said, well, you know, you got this guy who gets in trouble, Burfict, and gets thrown out of the game, you know, in that game against the Colts where it didn't happen with Jones. But anyway, point is, this guy's a repeat offender multiple times. He's looked at as the dirtiest player in the game of modern-day football. I don't think anybody could argue that point. I understand because of all the repeat offending of it. I understand he's dirty. I don't want to come off like I'm defending him, but I'm old school football fan, old school football guy. I'm a fan of Ray Nitschke. I'm a fan of Dick Butkus and Jack Lambert and Willie Lanier. These are middle linebackers. Vontaze Burfict's a middle linebacker. These are those middle linebackers back in those days. I mean, I know it's a different time now. Don't get me wrong. And I understand that. I'm not in the Stone Age, but I loved watching those guys play. Those guys were nasty. Those guys were mean. When I first learned how to play football and I was a young kid and I was getting into it before like junior high school, middle school and all that, you know, my coaches used to teach us and you have to be mean. Your opponent's trying to hurt you. You have to try and hurt them. It's different now. I'm just saying that's how I learned, you know. I mean, it was a different mindset. And you got to play within the rules, obviously. It is a different world now with the education we have towards concussion and stuff like that in the modern day of the NFL. I think it's great because it's saving guys. That's where a guy like Burfict, you know, he needs to be suspended for multiple games, if not the whole year like he is now. And who knows? They could end up banning him, right? That's what I'm hearing. He could be banned.
Yeah, he could. Listen, I don't need to see it. I mean, there's one thing of being physical. There's one thing to play nasty. There's another thing to have little regard for guys in the league or yourself. He's been warned on multiple occasions. He was received 13 suspensions and fines in 7 seasons with the Cincinnati Bengals. He is a dirty player. It's one thing to be nasty and physical. It's another thing to be dirty. And Vontaze Burfict is a dirty player. And you got to think about the other guys in the league, especially in today's day and age of helmet-to-helmet hits where they're trying to limit, where he has been warned for it. And then he is launching himself like a missile at Jack Doyle in a prone position and going helmet-to-helmet and then laughing as he's walking off the field. There's no place for Vontaze Burfict in the National Football League. It's he's a good player, has played well, you know, was a captain of the Oakland Raiders. They brought him in. They wanted to set a tone for that team defensively. But, you know, he shows little regard for anybody else in the National Football League for the team that he's going up against. And I don't think you need it. I don't think you need Vontaze Burfict in the league. I don't know if he's going to get a lifetime ban. I'm happy the NFL acted the way that they did and suspended him for the rest of the season. He and his agent said yesterday that they're going to appeal it. That appeal will be heard by the National Football League expectedly next week. We'll see where that appeal does go. But I do think there. I believe there's a way of being physical and nasty, and you can be mean. And you don't have to be dirty. And Vontaze Burfict is a dirty, dirty, nasty player.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt about it. I mean, like I said, to me, though, like I go back to those days years ago, and I think it's because so many of the guys played like that that it didn't stick out as much. You know, I mean, you remember there was a time when the Oakland Raiders. That's why it's kind of perfect. When he went to the Raiders, I was thinking because the Raiders prided themselves back then having nasty, aggressive at times, dirty players. You know, that kind of, you know, Lyle Alzado was not a saint on the football field. You know, like, Ted Hendricks was a nasty, nasty player. Like, you know, Howie Long was a nasty player. I'm not saying dirty. Some of those guys did dirty things, and not just them. Again, not defense, just giving another side of the coin where everyone is like, oh, my God, this is so bad. Like, this guy doesn't belong. This is a violent game. This guy, I don't think he's a nice guy. He's not a nice guy. But it used to be football was about bring guys on the field that aren't nice guys because we need guys that are going to play nasty and dirty. But not to try to injure someone. There's a big fine line right there, and I think that's the problem with Burfict. Again, I have no problem that he's going to be banned for the rest of the year or suspended for the rest of the year. If they ban him for life, that's fine. I no skin off my back. I mean, I can understand the narrative, but I'm just trying to give a different take on it. Like,
I know that but there's been an adjustment. So, I mean, is that, you know, this is the way that the league was built. I agree with you. I mean, there were a lot of things that were done 50, 60 years ago that are no longer done now or not allowed now. You adjust as a league, you adjust as a society, and things are a lot different. I'm not saying, you know, the clotheslines, guys grabbing face masks, ripping the helmet off guys. I mean, yeah, certainly. I mean, it was a significantly different league, and you watch some of those old NFL films, and the league was nasty and dirty. But when you have been warned on multiple occasions, as the NFL told Burfict, I believe via a letter in announcing and telling him that he was suspended for the rest of the year, when you're warned on multiple times continued to flagrantly abuse rules designated to protect yourself and your opponents from unnecessary risk, and you continue to hit people the way that you did when, you know, what was it, Antonio Brown was in a prone spot in that Steelers, playoff game between the Steelers and the Bengals. I mean, that was as nasty of a hit as you'll see. And that was a case where, you know, there's one thing to be physical. You do have to have respect for other guys playing the game, too. Mm. And when people aren't doing that to you and you decide to launch yourself or hit people in prone spots, I just don't think there's a need for it. And I know you don't disagree. I'm not saying that.
No,
but
I don't disagree.
I mean, I think there's a line there that Vontaze Burfict continues to cross. And Taz, he's his own worst enemy. Right. He's a continue. Listen, he doesn't have to play the way he plays.
He's talented enough.
In order to be an effective player.
He's a talented player.
The message does not get through. I mean, so he doesn't have to hit Jack Doyle the way that he hit Jack Doyle. Mm. And he's got to realize when he steps on the field that he has no margin for error because of his history, because of his history of being a dirty player. And, Taz, how many guys you hear yesterday, Frank Reich? I mean, you heard a number of guys basically say it was time. Right. It was time for something to happen and be done.
Yeah, no, I know. I think you used the right word. Honestly, the word adjustment, and I think that's a perfect word to explain how the NFL has changed, and there has been that adjustment, which is the right thing to do. There's a plethora of players. I went through some of the old school guys, even in more modern day. Dominic Sue's another guy who has that rep. Richie Incognito, another guy who has that rep. And these are usually dominant players. These are guys that make a difference on their teams. These guys that make a lot of money because
those guys have adjusted.
They have adjusted.
And Dominic and Sue is not stepping on offensive linemen.
That's
when
right.
he was like he
they
was a member
adjusted.
Of the Lions.
You're right.
You have not seen Sue get into those kind of issues.
Incognito has to.
And so is Richie Incognito.
That's right.
Those guys have adjusted. They got the message from the National Football League.
Right.
And you're not. No, I'm just.
Five years ago now? Yeah.
He had the stint with the Dolphins.
Yeah.
And then he was a Ram. And now he's a Buccaneer. So,
I
mean, he's had a number of stops since then. But that was that Thanksgiving Day game, where he was stepping on the chest of the Green Bay Packer offensive lineman during the course of that game. It's been a while for him, and for Perfect, Taz, he continues to do this, and also, he showed little or no remorse.
Well, that's the problem, especially in this day and age.
We talked about Humphrey. Humphrey's going up to Odell Beckham Jr. after the game and apologizing
to him.
And saying, that's not me as a player, right?
Yeah.
And they got into it, and Beckham hit him, and then he choking him, and this and that. It's a terrible look for the NFL.
Yeah.
Vontaze Burfict is running off the field laughing.
Yeah, yeah. Throwing kisses. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, you look at it, that scenario, you say to yourself, well, he could care less.
Right. No, I know.
You know? He doesn't care.
True. Well, most feel he got what he deserved. And, it's probably a good thing he's out of the league. You know, the other thing is not just going towards guys' heads, like the Antonio Brown thing, going at the guy's head like he did. The knees. Some of the shots, if you look at the history of this guy, Burfict, going at the guy's knees, it's bad.
That is. Do you blame the Raiders for making him a captain? People were knocking him yesterday. I don't
have a problem. Because we're not in camp. We don't know what's going on. And it's him being the captain?
Being one of the captains. He's not the captain.
Yeah,
I think they had five or six captains on the team.
I don't know, but he's a veteran player. I mean, maybe the coaches thought he changed his ways.
Yeah.
They're not there. It's hard to say.
No,
he
I agree with you.
He shouldn't be a captain.
But I'm not going to rip the Raiders for it. I agree with you. Should Vontaze Burfict have been kicked? Should he be kicked out of the NFL? We'll get into that. Want to hear from you. Monday night game, not much to get into. If you're a Steeler fan, you're alive and well in that dreadful AFC North. And then you get into the Burfict suspension by the NFL as well. Touch upon that. Want your calls at 855-212-4227. Taz Moose on a Tuesday morning. CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line of 855-212-4227. You know what it is. It's wrenched in the brain. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico, go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance.
Everybody on hold, we'll get to you guys in a second. With Andrew Bogus, he's going to do his latest sports update. Oh, wow, AB. Wow.
Hello. Look at me being on time.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually early today.
Thank you for bringing me on, as always. Here's your report. It is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes it easy to compare quotes and get a great rate with the Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. Mason Rudolph is the replacement for the injured Ben Roethlisberger, but the Steelers used more than him under center against the Bengals on Monday Night Football.
Jalen Samuels, second-year man out of NC State. And this is going to be a touchdown. And that is Samuels just finding a crack and going straight ahead for the 2 yards and the score to put the Steelers up by double digits.
Bill Hillgrove on Steelers Radio. Samuels took numerous direct snaps, ran for that score. He completed 3 passes for 31 yards and caught 8 of them for 57. Fellow running back James Conner mixed in 125 scrimmage yards and a receiving touchdown, while Rudolph threw only 4 incompletions with 2 touchdowns. Bengals QB Andy Dalton sacked 8 times. He lost a fumble. He was picked off in the end zone. His offense kicked a field goal midway through the first quarter, then didn't score again.
We just have to make plays. We got to execute better. And that's everywhere. And, you know, it starts with me.
His team remains winless, 27-3. First win for the Steelers. Bears QB Mitchell Trubisky reportedly doesn't need surgery after dislocating his left shoulder and suffering a slight labrum tear on Sunday. Trubisky will fly with his teammates to London later this week, but is unlikely to play against the Bears. Jets QB Sam Darnold cleared for only non-contact work here in New York. He can't even lift weights as he fights off mono. Gangrene was hoping Darnold could return this weekend against the Eagles, but that now seems unlikely. And Broncos outside linebacker Bradley Chubb is done for the year with a torn left ACL. Nobody hotter than the Washington Nationals as baseball's postseason begins. Dave Martinez's team has won its last 8 games.
They're playing really well. I mean, every one of them. We mixed our lineup up, you know, here and there, and every guy has contributed. So let's just keep it going.
His Nats host the Brewers tonight in the NL wildcard game. Max Scherzer throws the first pitch at 8:08 Eastern. Brandon Woodruff starts for those Brewers. Brad Ausmus is done after 1 season as Angels manager. 90 losses, their most since 99. But Joe Maddon's availability might be Ausmus's biggest issue. The former Cubs manager was once the Angels bench coach under Mike Socia. As for those Cubs, Theo Epstein confirmed yesterday that former catcher David Ross is on the long list of candidates to replace Maddon. No one has been contacted yet about an interview. And from the NBA, Klay Thompson, that torn ACL from Game 6 of the NBA Finals. His Warriors saying yesterday Klay is out at least through the All-Star break in February. Guys?
All right. Thanks a lot, Andrew. We were chatting about Vontaze Burfict, Taz, a little bit about the Monday night game, but more importantly, the Burfict decision by the NFL to suspend him for the rest of the regular season for that nasty head-to-head helmet collision on Colts tight end Jack Doyle on Sunday.
Yes, correct. Let's go out to Springfield, Missouri. Talk to Austin, listening on radio.com. Austin, you're on with Taz and Moose. How's it going?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing this morning?
What's up, Austin?
What's up, man?
Doing good. Hey, Taz, thanks for another Taz show drop. Looking forward to listening to that on my lunch today.
Oh, nice. You got it, bro. Hope you like it. Hope you like it. It's a good stuff. It's good. It's good. It's insightful. But anyway, so what's going on? What do you got on Burfict?
I also have one quick question. Did you end up beating Pete Gass in the Fantasy League this week?
We're going to give an update later on. See, because I didn't look. Moose, did you happen to look at this?
I didn't either.
Not yet. We've been busy show prepping, Austin. But
I did not.
I think we have, Mike, we got to have a little update later on, aren't we? I think we're going to.
Yeah, we'll do a little fantasy update.
Yeah, you put us on the spot there, Austin. It's okay.
I'm sorry.
I'm joking. I'm teasing. So what's up, man?
I just think, you know, I don't feel any sympathy for Vontaze Burfict, and I think he honestly needs to be banned for life. Because it's not, you know, I've seen a lot of comments of people saying that the NFL is soft for the punishment that he did get, being banned for the season, but the fact that it's just been so many repeat offenses, and, you know, what was sickening was just seeing him smile, knowing that he just has zero regard for the safety of another player. It's something that I think the NFL needs to look at as I said, just banning him for life, because you can't have that setting a, you know, precedent for somebody else coming along and thinking that that's okay to do as well. So that was just my take on it.
Well, we appreciate it, Austin.
And Austin, I think you have to think about the other guys in the league, you know, as well. Not just the way that he plays or the style and fashion and the dirty nature to his play, Taz, but, you know, I'm thinking about the other guys in the league, too, when you look at it. Because what gives Vontaze Burfict a right to maybe alter or change the course of another player's career with one of his hits, where he is playing, playing a little bit over the line or a lot over the line at times?
Yeah.
You know, say, say if Jack Doyle suffered a massive concussion where he's not available for the rest of the regular season, where, you know, because you've seen guys. I mean, Jordan Reed's career with the Washington Redskins, not from a nasty hit, not from Vontaze Burfict, but, you know, his career might be over due to multiple concussions that he suffered over what has been a brief and at times really good NFL career. He's been very banged up, but I'm also thinking about other guys in the league, Taz, you know, because they have every right. They don't need to go on. The league is difficult as it is. The league is nasty as it is. Now you have some guy that's willing to go out there and play an edge, take an angle, has no regard for me as a fellow player either. That's wrong.
Yeah, well, you're right. I mean, listen, these guys are trying to make a living together. They're all trying to make a living together, but yet in a aggressive, violent, nasty way. But, you know, it's a professional business, and you don't want to hurt each other. You don't want to, because you don't want someone hurting you. It's like in the wrestling industry, that's the credo. No one needs to get hurt. Now, it's a show. It's entertainment. Different in wrestling. I get that. But it's very physical. And sometimes guys try to do moves that are very dangerous to the opponent, even though it's a show. And it's like you get a bad rep because, wow, that guy's a little dangerous. He wants to get his stuff in, but yet it's dangerous, and he could put one of us out, and then we can't make a living, can't work shows. It's the same in the NFL game, what you just basically laid out there. You're right.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it's definitely a similarity. Let's go to Detroit and speak to Rich. Rich, you're on with Taz and Moose. What's up?
What's up, Rich?
What's going on, fellas?
How you doing,
buddy?
Good morning.
Good morning. So everything that Burfict did, the hit, the play, the way he walked off, it was all wrong. But I can't agree with the mob mentality. I think the NFL is practicing overkill to ban him for the whole year. And I'm just shocked any time that I see, you know, Goodell and the boys dropping the hammer with the overkill, always on a defensive player, and the players' union doesn't come out and speak up against the mob mentality. I believe the Burfict, the Ndamukong Suh, the defensive players, I believe this is all going to lead to, at some point, they're going to have to form their own union inside the union to represent them. Because some of this stuff, while a lot of it involves player safety, some of it also involves the NFL and all of these leagues trying to up their offense, squash their defense, and it's not fair. No one ever comes and says this type of stuff, kick them out for the whole year with an offensive player. Knocks out a defensive player, gives him a concussion or injures him, and he's out for the rest of the year, and it happens all the time.
Well, but you're also talking about a repeat offender. There's a lot that to unpack, Rich, that you threw at Taz and myself here. Number one is, every rule that's been made in the National Football League as of late has been to help out the offense.
Yeah,
and don't disagree. They've made it more and more difficult to play defense, and especially for defensive backs in the National Football League. You know, I don't think Taz or I'm not going to disagree with you. I don't think Taz would disagree with you either.
No, I don't.
In terms of
that.
They want more points. They want more passing. They want more of that. So that is true. Now, when you get to the angle of, listen, an offensive player in a defensive mode after an interception, there might be a nasty hit, but there's not the recurrence of it. See, this is not one singular hit from Vontaze Burfict. It's the repeat offender. It's the history that he has had in the National Football League. The 7 years in Cincinnati, now the 1 year in Oakland. That is that comes into play when the NFL hands out this season-long suspension yesterday.
I wouldn't complain about a 10-game suspension. I just think that it's definite overkill. And, Taz, I'm going to tell you something. If you want to look at the ratings that just came out, the NFL and the NBA are pushing the narrative, and baseball. Their narrative is more and more offense is what the people want, is more ratings, more money. But one of the highest games of the week that just came out was the Cowboy game. And what was the final score, like 12-10? It's not true. All of the home runs in baseball is driving people crazy this year. The NBA rule in last year where they took out the rebounding thing, and when you get a rebound, the clock goes to 14 seconds, gave all these extra possessions. The ratings went down last year. they got everybody in the media supporting them on this, and they're dead wrong. People want to see good competitive games.
Right.
I don't want to see basketball games 190 to 180, football games.
Right, but Rich, just let me interrupt you, sir. See, and what Moose was just saying is true, though. In regards to the topic of Burfict, though, it's like we've said, like Moose just told you, it's the amount, and you know this, Rich, as an educated sports fan, it's the amount of repeat. I mean, if you look at the list since 2013, how many times this guy's been fined? It's over like 14, 15 times. That's suspensions, fines. That's a lot. And, Rich, we appreciate the call. I mean, that's if you look at the list, it's insane. Like, insane.
Oh, it right, it is. Now, yeah, and he's going to appeal it, Taz. He, at one point in time, was suspended 5 games. He appealed it. It got reduced down to 3. Maybe this doesn't end up being a season-long suspension for Vontaze Burfict. Maybe they went season, Taz, and then all of a sudden, you know, they're going to give him 9 or 10 based on appeal. And, you know, Rich out there in Detroit's going to be a happy camper because he would, you know, he wants a 10-game suspension.
Right.
I'll tell you, Taz, you know, we hit upon it briefly there. You know, I don't think there's a place in the NFL for Vontaze Burfict. I don't. I mean, it would not bother me in the least. For a guy, we brought up Incognito and Dominican Sue.
Yeah.
Those guys have gotten the message,
right?
You know, right? I mean, they have.
Yeah.
They've adjusted their play. They're no longer doing that, right? I mean, and you look at Vontaze Burfict. It's the repeat offender nature of it.
Yeah.
And if I'm the Players Association, yeah, I don't have to represent Vontaze Burfict, and you're going to appeal the suspension, but you're also representing the other guys in the league.
Right, right.
Well, I mean, sure. What are they gonna say? You know, like I said, like you mentioned, say Vontaze Burfict comes back, you know, guy going over the middle, he goes right after his knee, basically blows out every ligament in his knee, you know, and he's done for the rest of the year, and maybe his career's in jeopardy because he's one of those, you know, 42nd guys on the roster,
right,
you know,
right.
And then he never gets to play in the end. What about that guy?
Yeah, no, it's a great point.
Does that guy not have a right?
Right. I mean, does he have a right? Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, what about that guy's rights? I mean, of course, the as you mentioned, Taz, the league is very, very physical. We none know that. It's nasty. It's this and that. But you also, as you brought up the wrestling example, you have to have respect for the other guys across the way of what the job that they're trying to do, too.
Correct.
They're trying to take care of themselves, their family, what have you.
Right.
They're trying to make a living as well.
It's just they all have to take care of each other. There's that brethren there. Let's go out to Sacramento, California. Talk to Austin. Listen, 11:40 a.m. Austin, you're on with Taz and Moose.
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? Thanks for taking my call. So I hope Rich is still listening. I was 100% on his side yesterday this time. And I called in the Grant Napier show. He's the ultimate get off my lawn, old school guy. I'm kind of conservative myself at 34. And he changed my mind when I was on hold about to call in because I had Rich's back all the way until he said this, Grant said this, the game is different now. It is a different game. It's not the same NFL. And it blew my mind for a second because you're right. When the inception of the Football League started, passing forward was illegal. And then we have, like, the running back is the most valuable part of the NFL, so much so that Ditka gave up his entire draft so he can get Ricky Williams.
Right.
And now it's all offense. So in, like, 60 seconds, Grant, the ultimate get off my lawn grumpy old man changed my mind because I thought for sure he was about to get pissed off about Burfict being banned for the entire year. Now I am with Rich on this. Maybe he gets one more chance, but you're right. I thought it was 9 times he's been fined or suspended.
No, it's a bunch, dude.
14. Yeah, 13. Yeah, this is the 14.
It's the four. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's 13
with the Bengals over 7 years.
And it's stuff that we appreciate the call, Austin. Stuff like twisting guys' ankles and from taking, you know, doing headshots towards guys and. You know, and listen, if he's flipping people off, I don't have a huge problem with that. I got to be honest with you. He's got one for his...
Oh, I don't know. I'm talking about more the physical nature
of it. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. There's a couple of them that are flipping fans off.
That doesn't bother me. Yeah. I'll never win that battle with the fans, but that doesn't bother me. I wouldn't, you know.
Yeah.
But I just look at the general disregard for a fellow player's health.
Yeah, well,
when he plays. I mean, that's got to be troubling in a game, Taz, that is as violent as the NFL is. And, you know, you don't adjust. There's no need. Here, let me ask you this. Is there any need for Doyle, when he's going down and attempting to make that, is there any reason to launch yourself headfirst into the helmet of Jack Doyle?
The only, and I understand your question, and the short answer is no, there's no reason. It's uncalled for. But the reason, and for those that are wondering that maybe never played or don't follow the game a lot or don't deal with people who played the game, like you're wondering why would teams even take this guy, the Bengals or the Raiders or what have you? Why would they even have this guy? Why has he been in the league this long? Well, because what he does, he's an enforcer on that defensive middle. When you play linebacker, middle or outside linebacker, especially middle linebacker, your job is to set a tone that nobody's going over the middle. No tight ends,
yeah.
No backs, no slants. You come over the middle, you're getting jacked, rocked, you're getting your ass kicked. That's the job of the middle linebacker, the inside backer, throwback style. That's what it is. You can't give up the middle. So that's why that teams take a guy like Burfict. He's an enforcer in the middle of the field. Players know. Well, if I go over the middle, this dude don't care.
Well,
He don't care. That's why.
And you're right about that. So let me throw it to you this way. We saw the adjustments from the two players before, and there have been other guys as well, right? Do you think you've seen no adjustment from Burfict because he knows that if he does not play that way, that he will not be effective?
Yes, I do.
I agree with you.
I think he knows, and he knows that's why he's there. Who knows what coaches have said to him behind closed doors? I'm not telling them they told him to play dirty.
Yeah, no, I get it, but he probably thinks playing that way makes his job easier.
Absolutely.
These guys are skittish of going over the middle when he's on the field.
That's his
job.
And
then number two is that he feels that's the way that he can be effective and doesn't know any other way. Because if you look at Taz in the NFL, he really doesn't know any other way.
No, this is how he plays.
This is the way that it has been. I mean, this is a guy that was supposed to be a top 10 pick coming out of Arizona State, had issues. Remember when he was there, he was overweight, had issues with his coaching staff when he was a member of the Sun Devils. But going into his final year at Arizona State, everyone said he was going to be a top 10 pick. End up not getting drafted.
Right, yeah.
He signs on with the Cincinnati Bengals because he's a family friend of Marvin Lewis.
And Marvin Lewis, I'm drawing a blank on ESPN yesterday who it was who said Marvin Lewis, I can't remember who it was, enabled Burfict through all those years.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and it'll come to me during the break. I know we're going to break. Yeah, I just can't
remember. Was it on ESPN? It was on or NFL Network?
No, it was on ESPN right before the Monday night game. Who were their guys?
Well, Riddick.
No.
Lewis Riddick, Randy Moss.
Maybe it wasn't Moss.
Steve Young.
No, we're running out of guys.
I think I ran through the gamut. Was it Susie Colbert?
No, it wasn't. No.
I think.
Maybe it was Riddick.
Who's
the halftime guys?
It's Young and Riddick with Colbert on the field.
Right, Mike's on this. We're going to find out. Someone did say.
I might be missing somebody.
I think you went through them all.
I mean, Hasselbeck? Was it one of the Hasselbeck?
Nah, they don't say nothing. There's no hot take.
No, I don't disagree. I think I've ran through the whole talent list.
Somebody said it. I can't remember. Is anybody out there
did
listening?
Did Rex pop in?
No.
Wearing a brown suit and an orange tie?
He's like, hey, you know what?
One more shot at Baker. Now he's a half-breed quarterback. It's Taz of the Moose on this Tuesday morning. CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Sunday, the NFL on CBS features a full slate of game, including Brady and the Patriots on the road to take out Washington, and the Ravens and the Steelers renewing their AFC North rivalry. Check your local listings for the game in your area. It all begins with JB and the guys on the NFL Today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS.
A couple of quick tidbits. It was Booger McFarlane, by the way. That's who said that Marvin Lewis enabled Vontaze Burfict. So that was last night. Also, real quick, just for those wondering how it went with Pete Gass and myself in the Fantasy Football League, Taz and Moose League, I smoked him, I kicked his ass, I beat him by 70 points.
Nice. Okay, there you go.
So Moose, he had 102. I had 179.
Nice.
Pete Gass wanted me to tell the audience, he did send me a text and wanted me to let you know this too. Please make sure you tell the audience that your defense gave up 55 points and still had positive points, and your Buffalo quarterback is brutal. He's fired. So that's Pete Gass. So I just figured I'd share that with everyone.
So you play the Rams defense.
Yeah, that's my defense, the Rams.
No, right. I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
Wait, what's your question? What do you mean? I don't understand.
No, I was curious what defense you started when he was referencing. He was referencing the Rams. Well, he technically didn't give up 55. It was 48.
Right? Yeah, I don't know what he's talking about. He's just obviously Sal Graves.
His one was a defensive touchdown, Pete.
Yeah, there you go. And just to let everybody know, remember last week I was in dead last. I'm not in dead last anymore. Okay, I'm sitting fifth right now.
Nice.
And I told everybody I would move up.
You're rallying.
You moved up.
No, I didn't. I lost this week.
Well, what were you? Where were your standings last week?
I was. My team's terrible. My team's done.
Well, you were not. You were ninth. You're in standings. You're ninth this
I'm
week.
I'm ninth. There you go.
But you lost to Bash Pros this week. But you didn't get smoked. You lost 129-95.
Yeah, that's smoked. I lost by 34 points.
Who's Bash Pros? Mike, do you know?
From
Eli
from Sacramento.
Okay, we just got to work on our list here. Yeah. All right, no problem. Yeah,
no, so. That's smoked. I lost. My team's terrible. I'm not making excuses. I don't have my number one pick in Barkley, and my team's not going anywhere.
Here's the good news, though, for you, Moose.
Oh, you thank you. This is good news.
Let me hear
Uncle Taz.
What's the good news?
Oh,
Bash Pros beat, but he's in first place, Eli. He's in first place. So at least you got beat by the first place team.
What does that mean?
Well, if you're going to get beat by the best. I mean, you got beat by the best.
Wait a second. A loss is a loss. I take nothing away from Wade. Okay, I come out of a game. I lost. At least I lost to a good team.
Yeah.
That does nothing for me.
Moral victories in
there
fantasy football.
There are no moral
victories
in fantasy football. I appreciate you trying to be positive, Taz. I can't take a moral victory. I lost.
Uplifting guy. And we also had, we missed the boat here creatively because we had a battle of the control room that just happened this week where it was Pete the Body, the esteemed board operator, against the esteemed producer of Taz and the Moose, Mike Basaglia. They went at each other in fantasy football. And Mike's team, Father and Son, which is him and Speakerphone Jones, they beat I Broke Wahoo's Leg, which is the commissioner, the former champion. Pete, you lost.
The reigning champ.
Yeah, reigning champ.
Took two people to beat me.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
Oh, they're very nice.
I got nothing for that.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I like queso.
Oh, my God.
Well done. The people in Norman, Oklahoma are celebrating. They were riveted by their battle this week.
Yeah, so for those that are counting,
we're big in Norman.
Mikey B won 115-95 over Pete. So,
nice. There you go.
Where's Andrew Bogus?
Pete O'Reilly.
What's Andrew Bogus' team? Do you know? Anybody know the name of his team?
I do not.
Connor Benji Heller.
That's his team? Connor Benji Heller? You sure?
I'm positive.
All right, no problem.
Tobias Heller.
Yeah, he.
Billy.
Who's sportsman? Thank you. Billy. Whatever.
I think we need to come together with a list here.
I think we need to move on.
I would agree with that. I think it's time to pull the cord.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what's it? A, B, B. Well, because all the names are screwing me up. The fake names, the real names. The Heller, Andrew Bogus is Heller. It's like, so his team, Andrew Bogus' team, beat Billy. Billy to Billy, Billy Baby Billy without the beard down.
Billy G.
Yeah, Billy G, yeah.
So Billy G lost. Who's the worst team in the league?
That would be 855-212-4227.
Our buddy from South Carolina.
Yes. It was the greatest name ever.
He's the worst team in the league.
Phone number of the show. It's just tremendous. Bash Pros is 4-0 right now.
There you go, Eli.
I'm 2-2. Moose, you are
1-3.
1-3.
Yeah.
Pete the Body's 2-2.
I'm 1-3.
1-3, Pete the Body?
No.
Well, Pete was just saying.
I'm done. I made a mistake. Again, these names. You try to read this thing, it's confusing.
We're going to run around the National Football League. We got a little pigskin pileup coming your way at 7 a.m. Eastern Time, 4 Pacific. As we spent a lot of time, hour number one, Taz, talking about Vontaze Burfict. And we'll see if he gets another opportunity in the National Football League to play again. We'll see if this suspension does hold up. By the NFL once he files his appeal next week. It's interesting because, as you get into it and, you've got the new age NFL fans and kind of the older school NFL fans like yourself and a little bit like myself that remember the days. And, I wasn't alive in the 70s, early 70s when those guys were playing that style and fashion. But there has been a distinct change and the adjustment that needs to be looked at when you play this game now and understanding what you can and what you cannot do. And listen, I think if Vontaze Burfict made some sort of an adjustment, Taz, and changed the style, I think there'd be a place for him in the NFL. However, I don't know if you necessarily could trust Vontaze Burfict to do that at this stage. And that's why, if they decided to, or a team decides not to sign him, or he's done in the NFL, I would not be all that surprised. It wasn't like teams were kicking down the door to sign him this offseason before the Oakland Raiders came calling.
Right. No, I hear you. Every league, unless I'm misreading this, I'm looking real quick at the list. Every year, more or less, since 2013, he's gotten fined.
Yeah.
Or suspended. Every single year.
Every year.
More than once sometimes.
This is his eighth year. It's 14 either fines or suspensions. He's been suspended for 10 games.
Wow.
Not counting this one. Come back. Pigskin Pileup comes your way next. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.